Without a doubt, Jeremiah, is in the, towards the end of his book that he wrote, also read the psalm that we sang today about, "Here I am, Lord, here I am." And Jeremiah, if you've never had a chance to read what we call the prophets in the Old Testament, it's a great thing to do. And there's so much to learn there. Time does not allow today to share with so much that's in the readings. And in the reading, there's a lot going on today. And the first one is the result of Jeremiah, who had a really unique calling from God upon him. He is known by scholars as the weeping prophet. To find out, you need to read the book and find out why he was called. But he had a unique ministry placed upon him by God himself. And he finds himself all of a sudden one day, unbeknownst to him, being accused before the king. And the king listened to his accusers and agreed to what they want to do with him. That is, to eliminate him, get rid of him. So they threw him in a cistern. We don't have cisterns like they used to, and basically it's just a big old pit, somewhere between 6 to 12 feet deep, and held water, and there was a lid on it. And they basically just threw him in there, and he sunk into his mud. Sunk up maybe to his knees, maybe to his waist, and mud, left to die. Here's a great man of God. A great man of God. He finds himself in the mud. Thank God there was a gentleman that came along later and said, wait, King, we didn't do the right thing here. We need to get Jeremiah out of this. You know, he hasn't done anything wrong, but a man of God. Paradox is the word that I want to kind of jump on a little bit today, and paradox. And interesting, you think, sometimes in my little brain, it's like, oh, I'm serving the Lord, I'm doing His will, I'm following Him. Well, everything should be fine and dandy and good because I'm serving God and doing good. But that's not necessarily the case today as we hear the three different scriptures. But paradox means this: an opinion or statement contrary to commonly accepted opinions. Paradox, an opinion or statement contrary to commonly accepted position. I had the wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be a volunteer fireman and EMT for 20 years. And in that short career that I had, had the opportunity to experience the paradox of fire, being a fireman, so to speak. On one side, fire is so amazing in that in some of the times we had dinners and we got together on Saturday and we'd cook out and we'd have the grills out there, we made these incredible steaks that were just made so wonderfully flavorful by the fire from the grill that had been provided and brought to the, we had a grill at the firehouse, where we would eat and celebrate and thank for the fire. But on the other hand, there's been occasions, and one especially I'll never forget, we were in a two-story house and the thing was ablaze, and after about an hour and a half, we finally got it out, and this house had a two-story lobby in it. And I remember standing there exhausted, and all of a sudden I looked out and there was a hole in the roof, and through the hole there were stars and the moon, and I thought, this is crazy. And here this poor family has lost everything, and yet there is the glory out there. So fire is an unusual thing, and we talk about paradox. There can be paradoxes in the Christian walk. And like you heard me say, sometimes, you know, we go along and we're doing good and we're doing what we think God wants us to do, and then all of a sudden the roof caves in. And we're going, why? Why me? Why am I experiencing this? I've been doing what you called me to do. And if you listen to the little voice that comes along sometimes, and if you heard Paul today say in his writings about we are surrounded out of Hebrews, great cloud of witnesses, and to run the race with perseverance. But later on, you heard what he said, don't lose heart in doing well. Don't lose your heart in doing good. Fire. Jesus, what an unusual gospel today. You know, we hear people talk about Jesus coming out. Jesus wants peace. Jesus wants mercy. Jesus wants, you know, but he says, no, I've come to bring division. Wait a minute, that's not the one that I've been told. What do you mean division? Did you hear that? That was pretty intense, that gospel today, as Jesus is saying. And he's talking about the fire. Father, they beautifully opened the Mass today, talking about the fire of God representing his love. And in the midst of our Christian service, if we're in the middle of where God wants us to be, don't be surprised if trouble comes your way. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden you start experiencing some things like, what is this? I didn't deserve this. But the very fact that you have the fire of God, the fire of His love burning within your heart, and you're reaching out in the world for the cause of Christ for our brothers and sisters that so desperately need Him in their life, don't forget there's an enemy out there that doesn't like that. There's an evil out there that doesn't care for that. And when you start provoking the evil side, they're going to start messing with you sometime. And in the midst of that trouble, don't lose heart. Some of you, I'm sure, within my voice in the sanctuary today, maybe you're experiencing trouble and you don't understand why. Don't become weary in what you're doing. Allow the fire and love of God to burn within you and to burn in your heart and move within your heart to keep you going. Just like Christ was looking to the prize that was going to be presented to Him, He had to endure the suffering to get there. And sometimes a Christian, that has to happen. So this week, Jesus uses the image of fire to describe the demands of discipleship. And the fire that He has come to cast on the earth, the fire of His love, is the fire that He wants to blaze in our hearts. And if the fire of God is alive in you this morning, you will not become weary in well-doing. But sometimes suffering is required being a disciple. So we need to remind ourselves that we need our heart to be ablaze with His love. Not just like a match lit, but a fire. It's different. I love the Easter Vigil. If you've never gone to one, you got to make it a point in your walk to make one, because the whole thing begins with a fire that is ignited that represents the light of Christ and the candle. There's a lot of representation about the fire, and it's a great way to start out the church calendar. I just throw that in there. But we need that fire to burn within us so that the Holy Spirit can move in our lives and help us to become more like Jesus. And when we allow the fire of God in our lives to begin to move, it may come in conflict. It may come in conflict with your own flesh, with your own blood, with yourself. But we need to allow Him to move within us. For by His cross, He has lifted us up. So we need to continue to allow the fire of God to move within us. It's one thing for Father and I in doing homilies to just say, okay, we need to have this in our lives. But it's another thing, and he and I always work to what can I do to let the fire begin to move within me? And be sure you take the bulletin home today. Father has written a great piece in there and some suggestions about allowing the fire to move. I want to throw a few more in there in case those didn't work for you, and here it is. To allow the fire to burn within us. If it's been a while since you've been to confession, you need to go. If the fire is gone, you need to start asking yourself and start once again prioritizing and asking the question, why am I doing what I am doing? If you haven't reached out to someone in a while and done something for the love of Christ, I challenge you, you can start today. It's never too late. Another reminder I want to throw out there, and it helps me a lot, and if we just happen to have an opportunity for the men coming up, is go to a retreat. Get yourself put away. The men's ACT retreat will be in the 1st of November. And guys, if you're lacking a little bit and missing something, I challenge you, it'll be a wonderful investment to get yourself there and be part of that retreat on the 1st of November. I can't say enough of that. And one other thing I'll throw out there is to become willing to allow the Spirit of God to begin to move in your heart. And how do I do that? Just start singing what we did a little bit ago during the psalm response. Begin to say to Him, here I am, Lord, here I am.